Welcome to another episode of Office Hours with the Nutrition Professor. I'm Timmarie Hagenberger, and today I'm going to speak about a topic that was presented during our PPOD conference, the Plant-Based Prevention of Disease. Kathy Pollard, a sustainable nutrition educator, presented about the sustainable diet, and she is adjunct faculty for the University of New England's online nutrition grad program. And she is also the co-founder of the Sustainable Diet Transition Program and the author of the soon-to-be-published book, Conscious Cuisine. And what struck me in her talk specifically was related to food waste. She shared some fascinating statistics about food waste in the United States. And she talked about the fact that 40% of food here in the U.S. is never eaten, which is $160 to $165 billion worth of food. While some of the food waste occurs at the retail level, like think grocery stores and restaurants, 25% of food and beverages that consumers buy gets thrown away. And this is despite the flood of ultra-processed products with unbelievably long shelf lives that we see in the supermarket. Only 5% of the uneaten food is diverted from the landfill for composting, and rotting food in landfills is the single largest component of municipal solid waste. By reducing food waste by only 15%, we could feed more than 25 million people a year, which is really significant because 1 in 6 people in the U.S. are considered food insecure. We talk a lot about that in my community nutrition class. Someone who's food insecure is not necessarily considered hungry, but they're unsure about where their next meal is coming, Even if you're fortunate enough not to be struggling with hunger or food insecurity at the present time, not only does it just make good sense not to waste food, but it will also save you money and time since prepared food won't get thrown away. So Kathy Pollard's talk inspired me to brainstorm some ideas for you. And I want to share 10 strategies to reduce food waste and save money. Now they're not in any particular order, so here we go. Number one, use your freezer. Our dedicated freezer is easily one of the best investments we have ever made. And their energy efficiency, especially when kept well stocked, will likely surprise you. We have a vertical freezer, a stand-up freezer, as opposed to a chest freezer, because it just helps me access the items, and I use it so much, I don't want to be digging through a chest freezer. And as I have mentioned during previous podcast episodes, in my freezer, you will find a variety of whole grains, nuts, seeds, soups, sauces, fruits, veggies, and cooked legumes, planned overs instead of leftovers, citrus juice in ice cube form, zest, and ginger and turmeric root, which are super easy to grate with a microplane when they're still frozen. I think I just might have to do a freezer tour during a future podcast episode. Number two, don't peel those fruits and veggies unless you absolutely have to. The only vegetable that I can think I peel is jicama, and the only squash that I don't eat the peel of is spaghetti squash. Some of the most health-promoting phytonutrients and fiber are found in or just under the skin of many fruits and vegetables. So I choose to eat the skin of all types of potatoes, kiwi, ginger, and carrots, just to mention a few that you may have peeled in the past. Number three, meal plan and prep, including planning for planned overs. When you know what you're going to make, you won't buy more than you need. If you just aimlessly put things in your cart that look good and hope that somehow they'll come together to form an array of edible meals, you might be disappointed. Regarding planned overs, why not double or triple a soup recipe? and plan to divide it into 3 containers, 1 for the fridge and 2 for the freezer. Just make sure you label them with masking tape and a Sharpie. That way you won't have to serve it every day, risking that everyone in the house will get tired of it and not want it again for the foreseeable future. Number 4. Speaking of soup, get comfortable with an everything but the kitchen sink recipe to help you clean out the fridge when the veggies are looking a bit wilted. You can also create a multi-veggie stir fry like the one I made with our foreign exchange student from Thailand this week. We had a girl stay with us for a week and she was so cute. She said, "I need vegetables. Americans do not eat vegetables like we do in Thailand." So we made a stir fry. I combined some red onion and carrot and let that soften in a dry skillet over medium heat. Then I added some garlic and ginger, and I added vegetables that I had on hand in my produce drawer. So I had bok choy, I had zucchini, cabbage, and baby bell peppers. When it was almost done, which to me means still nice and tender, crisp vegetables, I added some fresh bean sprouts and basil and a small amount of some organic brown rice and millet ramen noodles that we had bought from Costco, a Lotus Foods, I think was the brand. And we had cooked that in a separate pot. And that oil-free stir fry can be seasoned with a splash of rice vinegar, reduced sodium soy sauce, coconut aminos, fresh lemon or lime juice, or even some fermented black bean sauce. Check the labels though, because that one can be really high in sodium. We sprinkled the dish with some black and white sesame seeds, and it was incredibly delicious and cleaned out much of my produce drawer. Number 5, consider adopting the foodie bar way approach to meals. If you end up throwing away casseroles at your house because someone doesn't like olives or tomatoes mixed in, begin to set up your meals like foodie bars, where you have lots of options, but everyone assembles their own plate or bowl full of food. When I explain the Foodie Bar Way book to someone new, I show a picture of my salsa bar, which shows a variety of bowls filled with the ingredients for salsa. If I make the salsa, my daughter won't eat it because I'd put jalapeno in it. And my son won't eat it because it would have cilantro in it. But if I set out the ingredients and everybody makes their own, everybody's happy. I applied that concept to breakfast all the way through dessert and have 32 different foodie bars, such as loaded potato bar, pasta bar, burrito bowl bar, and even a dessert nacho bar, and 94 recipes to support those bars. On the back cover of my cookbook, The Foodie Bar Way, I explain that it's as if the forks over knives was crossed with Chipotle with a sprinkle of the flavor Bible. If you don't have a copy of the book, you should definitely get one, either a print copy or an ebook, and that would be at www.foodiebars.com. Number 6, shop smart when it comes to food that ripens. Instead of purchasing a bunch of bananas that will all need to be eaten in the same 24-hour window, why not buy a few green ones, some a bit riper, and a few that would be ready to eat that day or the next? The same goes for avocados, stone fruit, and pears, just to mention a few. If your bananas, avocado, and other fruit is ready before you are, you can put them in the fridge without washing or slicing them, and it should give you an extra day or two at least before they get too soft. In my cookbook, The Foodie Bar Way, I even devote a section to helping you make the produce you purchase last longer, with specific advice for every fresh ingredient in the book. A must if you've ever thrown away rotting fruit that you put in a bag to speed the ripening process. Number 7, pay attention to food safety. While Kathy's presentation at Peapod touched on the fact that the most common reasons for food waste in developing countries included poor refrigeration, infrastructure, and packaging challenges, I suspect that we waste plenty of food in the U.S. because we don't minimize the amount of time prepared food is in the temperature danger zone, which is 40 to 140 Fahrenheit. That's when the rate of bacteria growth doubles. Per USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS website, one of the most common causes of foodborne illness is improper cooling of foods. Bacteria can be reintroduced into the food after it's safely cooked. For this reason, leftovers must be put in shallow containers for quick cooling and refrigerated at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below within 2 hours. And for reheating, food should be reheated thoroughly to an internal temperature of 165 or until hot and steaming. If you use a microwave, make sure you cover the food and rotate it so it heats evenly. Many of my students leave food out much longer, and there is an old wives' tale that if you leave food out, it'll cool before you put it into the fridge. Well, that worked when you had ice boxes, but now we need to be much more diligent about putting things in shallow containers and getting them cool. Number 8, keep your refrigerator closed at all costs. I know this sounds silly, but one of my pet peeves is when someone in my family opens the fridge just to think about what they want to eat. As all of the cool air rushes out of the fridge and the warm air moves in. An easy fix for this can be a list of meal ideas, available fruit and veggies that you put on the front of the fridge on a simple sheet of paper or one of those very thin, light, dry erase sheets. Don't list every condiment, just the items that make sense. Number 9, be deliberate about where you place items in the fridge. The door will be the warmest, so don't put homemade dressing there. Back of the fridge will be the coldest, but some things will freeze if in certain locations, high up or on the side that shares a wall with the freezer, if you happen to have two, one in the garage, use it wisely. Don't just keep drinks in there. I have a separate containers of the food that I am most worried about going bad, like extra containers of our beloved tomato almond pesto, our scramble for the breakfast tacos, or homemade salad dressing, or my cheesy sauce. And I keep those in our garage fridge since it gets opened much less frequently. And number 10, get creative with ingredients. Last night on Facebook, someone asked about a suggestion for using up a ton of carrots. Carrot muffins and carrot cake came up, both of which are freezable, and I added finding a yummy carrot ginger soup recipe or making my zippy carrot citrus salad. I also have several oil-free stir-fry recipes on my website. It's time to take action. This week, choose one or two of the 10 strategies I discussed and have fun reducing your food waste and saving money. Here's a quick recap. As you listen, pay attention for our 4 P's: plan, prep, play, and pause. Number 1, plan to use your freezer. Number 2, when you prep, don't peel unless you must. Number 3, meal plan and prep. Number 4, play with an everything but the kitchen sink soup or stir fry recipe. 5, play with the foodie bar way approach. 6, pause when it comes to shopping for ripe fruit and veggies. Pick up items that will ripen at different times. 7, pay attention to food safety when you prep. Keep cold food cold and hot food hot. 8, pause before opening the fridge and keep a handy list of the contents on the door. 9, plan and be deliberate about what goes in your fridge and where. 10, get creative and play with ingredients. Do a search on the internet for different ways to prepare a particular fruit or veggie that you may have in abundance, especially with items that freeze well. I look forward to having you join me for the next episode of Office Hours with the Nutrition Professor. Until then, send me questions and or future topic ideas either by connecting through my website, www.thenutritionprofessor.com, or contact me directly through email, thenutritionprofessor@gmail.com. Have a great week, and remember, life is better when you love the food that loves you back.